Good morning, everyone. Let's start with prayer. Father, we come to you this morning expecting to hear from you and what you have to say through your word. And this morning I've been witnessing your spirit moving and working within us as a congregation to glorify you in this service this morning and to lift people up and to strengthen us. And I pray, Father, this would all be for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this morning my title is Effective Prayer. Effective Prayer. And it seems so poignant, as a few people have been sharing about their burden to pray for family and the importance of prayer in the life of us as believers here at church, and how much of a breath it is when people pray, when we can receive from heaven because of someone's faith and their ability to ask, because we're invited to ask. We're invited to ask. If anyone asks. So, couple of things, and I'm not sure where to start because I've got a few. I've been receiving lots of different things as the meeting has progressed, but I have a couple of scriptures here that I had been sort of keeping in my document for when I was developing the word, and it sort of morphed in a way that was different than what these scriptures were heading down. But I know the reason now why I kept it in there, because a couple of them I have as a word for different people. So for Danielle, I just want to encourage your word this morning. Psalm 18 verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." So definitely. Definitely for you. For Trevor and Marion, Psalm 59:16. "But I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in time of trouble." For Michelle and Gary, "Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children, it will be a refuge." That's Proverbs, Proverbs 14, verse 26. Effective prayer. So, Melanie, next slide. James 15:16 includes the words, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." So, okay, let's explore that for just a minute. Prayer is power. It has power. It is our power as a believer. We hold prayer. Okay? The number one thing that the enemy would love to see is for us to forget or never learn the power that we have as believers. The access that we have as believers, as God's holy people. So he will try to entangle us with burdens and confusion. But the thing is that the truth is not that far away. And you don't need a qualification in theology in order to get the full message on effective prayer. The key to our prayer and our power, our prayer life, sorry, as believers, are under the following conditions. So I'm not going to say this is exhaustive, but these are some that have stood out to me. So the first one is have faith and believe. We need forgiveness in operation in our lives. We need to be right standing with God. And I have to add a fourth one, which came through the meeting as well, which is humility, and that's not there on the slide. humility. So let's go on to have a look quickly at believing or having faith when we pray. So in Luke 17:6, he replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." James 1:6 says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." Moving on to forgiveness. Mark 11:25, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Matthew 6:14-15, "For if you forgive other people," and this is where Jesus was talking about prayer, "when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins." Sorry, I'm going to be very quick, so please forgive me. Keep a note of the references so you can look it up later. I just think it's very important to get through this because I feel God wants to do something else. Right standing with God. "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other that you might be healed, because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." So the way I see that is that we need to have healing in our lives, and that's part of our effectiveness. Romans 4:24, "But also for us to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead." So that will be credited to us as righteousness when we believe. So it's kind of a little bit of a tandem between belief and actually having right standing. So humility, another thing which came up, comes from Luke chapter 18, and it was when Jesus was talking about the tax collector and the Pharisee in the temple praying. 10 to 14, Luke 18:10-14. "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance, and he would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you," this is Jesus saying this, "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified by God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted." So I think that's pretty key there when we're talking about prayer, that humility is responded to by God. So part of this whole thing is that when we get the conditions right with prayer, we can be effective. So the Lord wants us to forgive, to clear that space for him to work. He wants us to believe and have faith, because that is the currency which he accepts. We need to be right standing with God, because without it, there is a divide between us and the Lord. So the divide is breached by the cross. So when we have right standing with God, that means we've accepted the message of the cross and we have crossed it in our hearts. We understand that our salvation is from him. And humility is pretty self-explanatory. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So now, having looked at these conditions, again, not exhaustive, not in any order, I can't claim to have found all the truth on that, but putting it into practice. Something that my dad really loved was pragmatism, or being pragmatic. There had to be an application. A real life, what, how, when, why. Because without that, yeah, I face that every day at work. There's a what, a how, a when, and a why. It's very clear when I encounter something. There is always a policy, a procedure, a trigger point where a decision must be made. And when you're looking at this in a natural setting in work, it's the same in the spiritual setting, in a real life context. Because I'll just give you an example. The other day we had an customer aggression incident on the ground floor of our building. If anyone doesn't know, I work for Centrelink, okay, in face-to-face, and we encounter very vulnerable people, and with all respect, we try and help, but at some point, we draw the line. And this person was very violent on his way out, and we had to lock the building completely. Now, I currently sit in a position of the building called the concierge, which is a role that sort of administers the whole of building communication between back and front. So some people don't see the customers all the time. So I had just the day before put in all of, with working with my boss, the protocols on the cross-building communication. Only the day before, and it's very rare that we get these incidents, so it was put into practice immediately. I knew exactly who to call, when to call, what to do, where to go. And the same should be said for what we are in a church context. When someone is sick, when someone is, I mean, we do that here, we pray for the sick. But there are things that we can do that are very practical. Another is holding like our regular practice and what we do to safeguard the people who believe. You know, like there's protection, there's all sorts of things. So there's some categories of application that I'd like to cover today. I know this is very sort of categorized and I'm going through a whole big list of stuff, but I think it's good to just refresh ourselves. So the first application, or the category I put it in, is safeguards and protection. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So that you can, that was the first one, safeguards, sorry. I'm going to go through a summary of all of the categories, sorry. Matthew 26:41, I'll get that on the screen in a minute. But our categories, sorry, thank you, Mel. There are safeguard and protection prayers, there's restorative prayers, kingdom expansion, and spiritual warfare. Again, not exhaustive, this is what I found. So under safeguards and protection, the one I just mentioned, Matthew 26:41, Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. This one helps you with protecting your mind. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. About what? Anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So anxiety is an opportunity to present your requests to God. So rather than having a spin round response, let's just say, okay, hang on. Philippians 4:6 says, present your requests to God with thanksgiving, prayer, petition. All right? There's only one book. Verses 20 to 21. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. So that just says to me, let's just keep going and praying so that we could be built up together. The next category is restorative. So this is a big scripture. I probably won't read it all, but there are very important parts of it that are worth highlighting. So James 5:13-18, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. And verse 14, is any among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. So that's a procedure to me. And like something that the enemy works hard against. This is scripture. This is the process. If anyone is sick, let them call the elders and be prayed for. Yeah. So let that be something that if you have those issues, I have taken that myself on board and done that in the past. So don't hesitate. Therefore, confess your sins in verse 16 to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Let's just be a little bit transparent and help. Let us pray for one another. 1 John 5:16, which I think is on the next slide. If you see a brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. So that is something that you have within your tools. You know, if you see something's not right, go and pray. Or pray for yourself. Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So if you need to be built up and restored because of your weakness, pray in the Spirit. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us in wordless groans. The next category is kingdom expansion. Colossians 4:3, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Sometimes has anyone felt like sometimes they're in a bit of a situation in their life that doesn't seem to be going anywhere, and then all of a sudden something will happen, and all these options and all these different things become available to you? That's what's called an open door. So when we can't move, no matter how much we plan or structure or try and make something happen, that is a closed door. Nothing will ever happen, and it will only be your own efforts that will sustain you in that space. But when God opens a door for us as a church, for you as a person, then nothing can stop you. So when we pray, when we feel like there's something blocking and something not quite happening or needs to progress, we need to pray that the Lord or God may open a door for our message, which is Christ. Matthew 9:37-38, and he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out the workers into his field." Spiritual warfare, the next category. Mark 9:29, he replied, "This kind can only come out by prayer," talking about demonic deliverance. That's a whole other area. Luke 6:28, "Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you." Believe you me, this is spiritual warfare. Because the natural response is vengeance, hatred, resentment. But the spiritual weapon, because we're fighting something that's not flesh and blood, the spiritual weapon is to bless those and to pray for those who mistreat you. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greeting. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Some of us may feel the burden that God has placed on their heart to wrestle for a group of people or for somebody. That is a spiritual warfare, a tool, a prayer tool that has been given to you by the Holy Spirit. I pray that God would raise those people up in this church for the coming of people who are yet to come. I pray that that would happen. Next slide. Jesus, the teacher and model. In Mark 11:17, he says, "My house will be a house of prayer." So what is a house? Because, you know, literally, it's a structure. But it could also be a, like in sporting, in school, there would be houses of people. Not literal buildings, but house, I belong to the yellow house or the blue house or the green house. We belong to Jesus. And his house is the house of prayer. So as our banner, we have prayer. You know, when you're in the sporting events, you see the red team's banner for the house of red. Well, today, we're waving the banner of prayer over his house. His house is the house of prayer. Prayer is all about access. And in context, Jesus said that in response to people who had placed restrictions and barriers to access for the Father in the temple. He had overturned the tables of people selling sacrifices and for something that was supposed to be not that hard or not costing them that. It was supposed to have, there was supposed to be a way in to see and be with God. And that's what Jesus was very passionate about. Did you know that, and I'll just skip ahead. Jesus was alone in prayer. This is just a random fact. Jesus was alone in prayer in Matthew 14:23, Mark 1:35, 6:46, Luke 5:16, and 6:16. It's recorded that Jesus was alone in prayer. Prayer was Jesus' only connection to the Father on earth. Prayer is our only connection to the Father while we're here on earth. And this connection is so vital. Prayer is our lifeline. Jesus taught about prayer in Matthew 6. I would highly recommend that you read that because he touches on attitude, where, when. He's very practical, gives you the example prayer. But I want to say this morning that a prayer, and this is something I've had to tell myself, prayer is actually a priority as much as it is to learn the word and to become more understanding of his character. We also must pray. It is like breathing. We need to breathe his connection with us. Power comes from prayer. If we don't pray and we don't seek God and we don't hear from him and spend time with him, listening to him, praying in the understanding and praying in the spirit, we lack power. Our lives are not as rich and as in line with what God would want as they should be. And I pray this morning that there would be something stirred within us, something stirred up in our spirits, that we would begin to pray more, that we would understand when and where and how and why to pray and the access that we have, and that we would stand firm in the scriptures of what the Lord says is true and what is the spiritual process, the way that we approach, the way that we can receive everything that the Lord has for us. So right now, Father, we just thank you. We thank you. And I'm going to do something a bit bold now. I'm going to open it up to people who want to come and have felt that they have something to pray for on their heart right now. Is that okay? Someone with a burden to pray about something specific. And it doesn't have to be any sort of qualification. As long as you have accepted the Lord as your Savior and He fills your life, I invite you now to come and pray. Whatever it is that's laying on your heart, it's not a prophetic word. This is a prayer. This is what you feel burdened for. Just going to leave it open. Nothing better than a practical lesson. I pray that you would be bold. Bold in the Spirit.
My burden is the prayer I put, offered up in the church for the government, the state of the government that we have in this land is on us as the church, as the body of believers. And it says in Timothy, when men come together, the first thing that they should be praying for is all men, and praying for the leadership, praying for the country, praying for kings and princes, all those in authority, that we may live good and peaceable lives, and that the gospel may be preached throughout the land. And this is on my heart and has been on my heart for years. And I just pray that this church would become a church that stands on that word and puts that as a priority, praying for this land, praying for the government. And to that end, Lord, I just ask and pray for our government, Lord, for the leadership of this country. For it says in Chronicles that we are to humble ourselves, that we are the ones not to point the finger and say, oh, look at this in the land, look at that, look what's happening. We are the ones to humble ourselves and pray. To come before the Lord, to confess our sins in humility, and to pray for this land, that it may be restored back to the glory of God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. I pray for the young people today. I just got a message from my daughter that has just absolutely floored me. And I pray that, Father God, that you will intervene. Because this spirit of the Antichrist has come, and he is trying to take our children. And he is trying to just take them away from us, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will open their eyes. Father, that you will take them out of this horribly miry clay and put them, Father, on the top of the rock where you are, O God. Lord, I pray that you will just give them a sense of purpose and of life, and of, Father, that you are of life. Lord God, I ask you, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, you said you have not because you ask not. So, Lord, I'm asking for your intervention into their lives. The Father, that they cannot be taken from you, O God, that you will restore them back to yourself. Father, that I pray that you will just redeem them and bring them back to yourself in Jesus' name.
Thank you for your spirit. I thank you, Lord, that we can come to you. And I thank you, Lord, that we can pray in the spirit for what you place on our hearts. So, Lord, I'm just praying now for this church. I'm just praying now, Lord, for your protection and your your angels to come around and fortify your people in this church so that we can rise up and that we can be that light in this community for you, so that people will say, hey, listen, they're going through all that, but they're still standing strong. What is it? And that will draw people to you, Lord Jesus. So I pray, Lord God, just release your angels to surround us, to protect us, to lift us up, to tell us what to do and when to do it and how to do it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I pray for the body of Christ. I pray for all the body to be one, Lord God. That was your prayer, Jesus. You are the head and we are the body. And I pray that we would be one, joined together, that all those barriers would fall to the ground in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that your people would be one, that the little toe doesn't say to the ear, I have no use of you, but we are one in you. So I pray for the whole body of Christ to be united and joined in Jesus' name. And I'd also like to pray for the prodigals. I just pray for them right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask people that you would pray in the Spirit too. Pray in the Spirit, please. We pray for the prodigals, Father God, all of those that we know, all of those in this community and around. We lift them up to you, Father. And we say, Lord, those seeds that have been put in their heart so long ago, Father, let them grow. Let those seeds awaken, Lord God, and let them remember you, not by might or power, but by your Spirit. And like that boy who left his father, the prodigal son, and it took until he was in the pig pen, until he could look and see that his own state. I pray that quickly, Lord God, you would bring these loved ones, Lord God, you would bring them to that place of remembering who you are and how much you love them. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every lie that they have believed, we bind those lies and say, get off their lives right now in Jesus' name, that they would know the truth, that the Lord loves them and gave his son for them. Thank you, Father. We're going to see them streaming. We're going to see them coming in. We're going to see families restored, and we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes.
Father, as I was sitting there, and this word came in, hope. And Lord, I pray firstly to restore hope to the body of Christ. Where things are happening in our world, things are happening in our families, as we've heard. Things are happening in our government. And we feel like we've got no control. Lord, we don't have control. That's a lie. We never did. But we can have hope. And our hope, Lord, is in you. So I pray that you will restore hope. Hope in your faithfulness. Hope in your truth. Hope in your word, Lord God. And that we are going to see with our very own eyes that you will just in the little, just in the everyday, restore. Because as darkness grows, the light shines brighter. Lord, you are our hope. You are our everything. We don't need anything else. Just bring that to us right now. Let's start in here. Start with me. Move out through the congregation. Just this, it might start as a small flame. Just start to fan that flame with your faith to rebuild hope. Hope in the future. Hope in our church, in our family, our broader community, our country. in the world. Because if we don't have hope in a hopeless world, then how is anybody going to know you, Lord? Thank you.
I just feel to say this, that the Holy Spirit is starting to move amongst us. And when Christopher first announced this, people thought, well, I won't be praying. I just don't do that sort of thing. But the Lord's put something on your heart. It might be just a little thing. And you might think, look, I don't have all those words to say. I can't pray so beautifully like these people have prayed. But the Lord has put a word on your heart. And I want to encourage you right now, how small it is, no matter what it is, might be just a few words. But the Lord has put that on your heart. I want to encourage you to come out and to pray that word.
I believe the Lord was saying to me up the back, he just kept saying, go out and tell them, awake, awake, oh you sleepers, wake up, arise from the dead and let the sun shine in through you, that the sunshine of God, the light of God would shine through you as you walk through this darkness. Be a light, wake up. The world is going to get darker, but we need to get brighter. I have given you all power and authority in my name. You shall cast out demons. You shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It doesn't say they might or I hope they will recover. You need to start learning your power and your authority in Christ Jesus and stand up. Stand up. And be accountable for Jesus. Because there are many people hiding their light. They're hiding it under a bushel, hiding it under a rock. They've got Jesus as a life insurance. Just in case he's real, they've got him. Well, guess what? He is real. He's coming back soon. And we need to be accountable for telling the word of God to everyone around us. We have the power and the authority in Christ Jesus to stand up against the darknesses that are coming against our families, to come against the things, the wickedness of this world, because we have been given all power and authority in Christ Jesus. It is time for the body of Christ to start learning that power and authority and standing up in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. I don't particularly have a word, but the Holy Spirit is prompting me to come out, and he will pray. Just try. Begin to try. Don't trust in yourself. Trust that I will give you the power, says the Holy Spirit. I live in you, and I will use you for my purposes, but all you have to do is be available.
Father God, I just thank you for the help that I've received in my grief, Lord. I'd just like to pray for others that are grieving in this house, my other brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that you would put them on the rock of the safety of your word and your salvation, Lord. Your word tells us that you're close to the brokenhearted. So, I pray for those who grieve right now. Most of all, Lord, I pray for your peace to fall on them, the peace that passes all understanding, in Jesus' name.
I want to pray for churches and ministries that are under increasing attacks. Between 75 and 150 churches close in America alone every week. And more churches are closed annually that are started in 35 different denominations. So today, Lord, we just be reminded that you said you would build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We know that ministries and pastors and friends that we know in ministry that are no longer in ministry, many whose families have suffered, many whose marriages have failed, many who have suffered all kinds of attacks against them, against their families, against the churches, and this progressive Christianity that's crept in that promotes self. We know that Jesus is our rock, that you came to give us life. You came to, this is not about us, it's about you in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory, as Michelle has spoken about hope. We thank you that your hope is the anchor of our soul, that we stand firm in you. And we pray for the ministries that are suffering, that are being under continual onslaught and attacks. We stand in the power of your Spirit and we declare life. And we speak power and anointing and deliverance. And we stand in agreement, as your word says in Luke 4:18, that you came to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the, to open blind eyes, both physically and spiritually. And we stand in the authority and the power of your word, and we pray in the name of Jesus that no weapon against your church that is formed against the church shall prosper. And those that are oppressed and beaten down will rise up in a newness of spirit and new power of your spirit and walk forward. And we declare that we will stand firm no matter what comes against us in the name of Jesus, because of your ability through us to do what you've called us to do in Jesus' name.
Just a short word on hope, a testimony. When I was 16, I was going to a church, a denominational church, every week. And I couldn't remember the services. I couldn't remember the words that were said. And then they came, a man came. He was a chaplain in a prison, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And everything he said, I remembered. And one particular thing he said to me, when hope is gone, hope on. And I say that to you now. When hope is gone, hope on. And if you need to say a word to somebody, you don't know how long that word is going to continue in that person's life. And once you have that instilled, like it was instilled in my life when I was only 16, it's carried me through. If you get that chance to talk to somebody and give them a word, it might only be a couple of things. You don't know whether that word is going to carry on for the rest of their life. Speak the word when God prompts you.
I just feel that as tough times come, and they will, that we need to be praying in the Spirit. It's a weapon. And Christopher touched on it today. When we don't know what to say, when we don't know how to pray, our words get lost, and that we don't know what to do. And I want to encourage that if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues, that is something that we need. It's not essential to go into heaven, but if you want the power, and as the things come against us and we don't know what to say, like Janie's got a message from a daughter and she probably just doesn't know what to say, and she can pray in the Spirit and we can too. So if there's anyone that has not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I just want to encourage you today. You could come forward later. You could, you know, you've all been here long enough, you know. But if you want to come forward, we can lay hands on you. But if you don't, I just encourage you, read that scripture in Romans, because Romans 8:26, about when you don't know what to pray, our utterings, our groanings, the Holy Spirit's taking them as our prayers. We're going from our spirit straight to God's, and we're praying the perfect will of God over that situation. So that is a weapon we need to be using more and more.
All right, so we're going to do this like this now. So officially, service is over, but what we're going to do, Jules has agreed we can, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to invite you to come up and please, Jules is going to be here and a couple others, and we'll help with that. But also, I want to facilitate the ongoing prayer. So if you still haven't gotten up, even while people are receiving over here, prayer can be going on over here. So I would actually invite that. Because in this atmosphere at the moment, the Lord is working. Together, we're here as the body, and we're going to stand, and we're going to declare and pray and see breakthrough in people's lives and breakthrough in the spiritual side of things. And we're going to just linger here for a bit longer. If you have to go, that's fine. You can feel free to go.